in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, as you turn there. I want to thank Brother Roger for all the hard work he's done helping this choir. And friends, I tell you what, he brought us a long ways to be able to do that cantata. And yes, I know he's not looking for any praise, but he's done a wonderful job with us. We appreciate him so much. And thank you for your attendance today. Just appreciate you being here. And I hope that the Lord spoke to you. I know He did me through those songs this morning. As we were singing those, and talking about Calvary's love. And that song, They Could Not. I tell you what, friends, that got me tore up. When I started thinking about that fact there, that they could not keep Him down. They could not keep Him in that grave. And that goes along with the message this morning. Matthew 27. Let's look at verses 57 through 66. And like I said, I'm not going to preach long, but I do have just one point I want to make today. And I want to propose the question to you this morning. Why was the stone rolled away? Why was the stone rolled away? I want to ask you that this morning. And when I'm done here in just a few minutes, I believe you'll know the answer. Matthew 27. And let's go ahead and you can stay in your seats this morning. Matthew 27, starting with verse 57. And here the Bible says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So then they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now, God, that you just guide me for just a few minutes, Lord. You direct me this morning, Lord. May we be obedient to the Spirit and help us, Father. These things I ask in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, if you keep looking there in that next chapter, chapter 28 of Matthew 28, look at that first verse. After the soldiers came to old Pilate and they said, Hey, you know this man, he's a deceiver. He told his disciples there before he died that he was going to raise again in 3 days. And if we don't do something about this, that liar, that deceiver that we put in that ground there, in that tomb, he's going to be taken out of there by those disciples. They're going to come by in the middle of the night. They're going to get in there and they're going to take that body out. And then they're going to go around everywhere telling everybody, see, he rose from the dead. That's what they were saying to old Pilate, that deceiver. So we've got to do something about it. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that tomb is sealed so that nobody can get in there. And we're going to watch over that thing. And so that this ain't going to be worse than what it was before. And that's what happened. So he tells them to go ahead and do that. And then look at chapter 28, verse 1. It said, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. You know, while I was reading over this text and thinking about that thought about that stone that was rolled away. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, I wonder why the Lord didn't just pulverize that place. Why didn't He just take His fist and just
pound that stone out of the way? Why didn't he turn that into a bunch of sand and come out of there? Why didn't he do that? Why did the angels come down and roll that stone away? Why did he do that? And that's the way my little old mind thinks, you know. If the world depended on my mind, we'd all be doomed this morning. Thank God he's in charge. Thank the Lord that he knows what he's doing. But thankful that his divine will is done, just as in his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you realize without any of those three things that we would not be any reason for us to be here today? Without the death, without the burial, and without the resurrection, we might as well go home or go on to Cracker Barrel now and just live it up. Because there'd be no sense to be here if Jesus hadn't been risen from the dead. But thank God that he was. And as I thought about the events that day, I kept thinking about that stone. Why was it rolled away? I mean, he has all the power in the world, doesn't he? Couldn't he just walk through a solid stone? Why did it even have to move? We know he could go right through that stone with no problems. Why, he could command the world to be into place. That was nothing for him. He's our strong and mighty tower, the Bible says. Why didn't he push it down and walk over the top of it? Why didn't he ram his fist through? When I started thinking of that. You know, and all of the Gospels, they each tell it just a little bit different, their own take on it. But it all ends up the same, that stone was rolled away. Now turn with me now quickly over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 11. I want to show you something else about another stone. John chapter 11 verse 32. And this is a very familiar text of Scripture right here that you'll remember right off. And this is about another stone that was blocking the entrance to a grave. John chapter 11, starting with verse 32. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now, as we know what had happened, Lazarus had died. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. It's always his sisters, Mary and Martha. And they had sent word to Jesus already before this, several days before, and said, "Go get Jesus. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is bad off and Jesus needs to be here." And Jesus waited. Jesus tarried. He didn't go there for a few days. And so they come to him and they're upset. She's certainly upset. "Why did you not get here sooner?" they want to know. "Our brother would still be alive if you'd just come a little earlier." And so she comes down at his feet. She said, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And verse 33 said, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave. And look at that next part. And a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then, listen to that. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, "Them, loose him and let him go." Do you notice what had happened? All these people there were in unbelief. Jesus looked around. The Bible says that he groaned within himself. He was groaning. He wasn't groaning over the death of Lazarus, friends. That was not the reason he was groaning. The reason Jesus was groaning was because of the unbelief of the people. He knew that he had the power to make this thing okay. He knew he had the power to call Lazarus out of that grave. He knew it. And what he wanted them to understand was that they needed to believe in it also. And why didn't Jesus just himself say, "Stone removed from that grave"? Why didn't Jesus go over there with his mighty finger and push that stone off that grave? No, he said, "You go and you take that stone off that grave." And the Bible says they took it away from the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Why did he have them do it? Because of their unbelief. You see, the stone to them meant final.
The stone to them meant that Lazarus was dead. He was gone. They were through with it. They're packing up. He's buried. There's nothing else anybody can do. No doctor can help him. Nobody else is going to be able to get him out of there. We're going to go mourn. We're going to go miss him. We're going to weep and we're going to cry. Death has won here is what they believe. Because that stone was covering that grave, that was it for them. It was final. And Jesus says, you go and you move that stone. And Jesus groaned in himself because of their unbelief. You see, he wanted them to take that stone away so they would understand, so they would believe that he had the power to bring him back from the dead. And if they could only bring themselves to go over there with faith and believe that Jesus was capable of doing that, if they could physically go with their own hands and move that stone, that showed him they had belief. That there was some belief right there, something that he could work with. Verse 38 said he groaned, Jesus was groaning in himself, groaning over their unbelief. Verse 40 said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He just wanted them to believe. And that's all it took. They had enough belief that if they removed that stone, because Lazarus would live. Now quickly, turn over to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Again, the thought is here, why did Jesus roll the stone away? Why did he roll it away? Mark 16, the first four verses, Mark 16. I love to hear those Bibles turning. I love it. Mark 16, 1 through 4. And here the Bible says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, listen, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, to these two Marys, this stone was a hindrance. The stone was a stumbling block. Even before they got there, they knew there was a problem. There was a stone covering the entrance to where Jesus was laying. And they were not going to be able to move it. First of all, it had the Roman seal upon it. And if they broke that Roman seal, they would be arrested. They would be put in prison. Another fact was, these women, and this was a mighty stone. The Bible says it was the stone was very great. So they didn't physically have the power to remove the stone, and they knew that. They're asking themselves, who's going to do this for us? I mean, the Roman guards were there to make sure that it didn't move. That was what they were positioned there for. And to them, the stone was a stumbling block. It was an impossibility. Now, turn with me again, and this will be our last text that we need to use. John 20, 1 through 8. Gospel of John 20, 1 through 8. Remember, why was the stone rolled away? John 20. 1 through 8. In John 20, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Now, I ask you when it first started, why was the stone rolled away? Do you see it? It wasn't because Jesus didn't have the power to come out of the grave without moving the stone. It wasn't because Jesus couldn't simply walk through solid granite or solid stone. He could do that. He has the power to do that. It was not because of that. It was not because of him at all. It wasn't had anything to do with him. The reason the stone had to be rolled away. The stone had to be rolled away because of you and because of me. Because of belief. Because if that stone gets rolled away and they come to that grave and they see that it's empty and there's nothing there but the grave clothes, then they know a miracle has happened and he's risen from the dead. Just like he said he did. Because nobody on the earth moved that stone except for God himself. He sent those angels and they rolled that stone away for them. Not for him, for them. Jesus rolled that stone away so that you and I could believe in him. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, and it seems like that there's a huge stone in front of your life. I don't know what you've been through. You may have been through a struggle. Friends, some of us here lately have lost loved ones, and we're going through a struggle. And sometimes it seems like that struggle is a huge stone up in front of us. And there's nothing it's the final thing. It's a stumbling block to us. And we don't know how to get rid of it. I mean, we don't know how to push it out of the way. We can't break the seal off of it because it's protected. But it's a stumbling block. And there may be a stone in front of your life today. Maybe you've lost a job recently. Maybe you've lost a loved one, a family member. Maybe 2 weeks ago you went to the doctor and he said you had cancer. Maybe something's happened in your life and you feel like there's a big old stone in front of you and there's no way to move that thing. Friends, I want you to know today that God can move that stone for your belief. He can move that stone if you'll have enough faith in Him. If you've got enough faith as a grain of a mustard seed, not just a mustard seed, but the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And friends, I want you to know today, whatever that is that's hindering you, whatever that is your stumbling block, whatever it is that's keeping you from having that belief in Him that you need to have, that faith that He wants you to have in Him, that He can do whatever it is that you need in your life, whether it's comfort, whether it's a healing, whatever it may be, He's there for you and He wants you to believe in Him. Why was that stone rolled away? It was rolled away for you. Perhaps you're going through something else. Maybe a struggle in your family. Maybe one of your children have gotten off course. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe whatever it is, you feel hopeless and helpless. I want you to know today that God can handle it. God can handle it. He can take care of it. And that thing that seems to you insurmountable, just like Mary and the other Mary, when they went there and they said, "Who's going to move that stone for us?" Friends, God is able. And He's done it for you. He done it for us, friends. Now I'm asking you today, have you handed everything over to the Lord? Or are you still dragging it around? Do you have your problems and cares and all those things strapped around your ankles? Do you have it mounted up on your back like a big old sack of taters? Anybody ever carry a big sack of taters on your back? Friends, we used to dig those taters and we'd carry them things around. Those are heavy. And a lot of people today are carrying around their burdens on their back. And they're not letting them go. Oh, they say they want to. Oh, I'm burdened down. This thing's going on in my life and I need help. Pray for me. Pray for me. And they walk around clutching onto that sack on their back. And they've got that stone in front of them that's hindering them. Friends, we need to lay that thing down at Jesus' feet. We need to drop a hold of that thing that's hindering us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What are you burdened down with today? Has God been dealing with you with something and you've been resisting Him? You've been saying, "Oh, no, 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 Lord, I can't let go of that. Oh, it's awful, the things I'm going through, God, and, you know, I've got to sort this out. Oh, it's just impossible, and it's just a stumbling block to me, and, you know, I just can't do it." How many people's doing that today? Are you doing that? Have you been carrying something around with you for months? How about years? You know, some people carry around their old baggage for years. You need to let go of that stuff. You need to get that stumbling block out of your way. You need to let the Lord move that stone for you. I want to ask Him to come get the invitation song this morning. And I want to appeal to you today. I want you to, as we stand this morning, I want us all to stand. Now, I know probably most of the people in here, probably I've heard your testimony and you say you've been saved. I don't know everybody's heart today. You do, and the Lord does. But if you're dealing with something, maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day you need to come down. And you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. And get that hindering, that stone out of your life. Maybe it's a burden you're going through. I don't know what it is. But if you need to lay something down today, come to this altar. Let's pray together. The church, we'll all come to pray with you if you want us to. But let's pray this morning. If you need help today, as we sing this song, what is it, brother?
164.
Let's turn there and sing. And if you need help today, come to this altar.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. they bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that good invitation song. And friends, if the Lord's been dealing with you and you refuse to come down, I hope you get things right before it's too late. Fall on your knees to the Lord and tell Him your burdens. Tell Him your care. He wants to hear them. And certainly, if you've not ever been saved, friends, I want to tell you, this is the most important decision you'll ever make in this life. Because after this life, the decision time's over. You'll either be going to heaven or hell. If you right now, today, is the day you decide that. All right. Well, it's been a great day in the Lord's house, and I pray that everybody has a good time. Don't forget, we're going to have services back here tonight at 6 o'clock.